CJSF is 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the heights of Burnaby Mountain.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM and CJSF.ca because you are better than most people. Thank you.
Welcome to week 582 of the Rockin' Blues Show. I'm your host, Brent Morrison, coming at you all the way from Vancouver, Canada, on the unceded Coast Salish territory. I'll be here for the next 2 hours playing the best in rock and blues music from across Canada and around the world. Tons of stuff to get to this week, including my three-part interview with Savoy Brown's rhythm section, bassist Pat DeSalvo and drummer Garnet Grimm. But I'll start things off with Toronto's Shakoor Saida. From her 2022 Juno-nominated Hold On to Love, this is Glad for Today.
Just be glad for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Stars, good Lord. shampoo I use.
Closing out our opening set of rock and blues music from their soon-to-be-released Death Wish Blues, we had Samantha Fish and Jesse Dayton with Settle for Less. Before that, from their new sophomore release, Slow Burn, we had Detroit's Sunny Blue and the Moons with Rollin' Baby Blues, and I got this week's rock and blues show started off with Toronto's Shakur Saida and Glad for Today from her 2022 Juno-nominated Hold On to Love. This is the Rock and Blues Show, and I'm your host, Brent Morrison. Starting off this set, the first part of my three-part interview with Savoy Brown Rhythm Section, Pat DeSalvo and Garnet Grimm. I've got Pat DeSalvo and Garnet Grimm, the Rhythm Section from Savoy Brown, with me on the phone. One of you guys is in Florida, one of you guys is in New York?
Yep. I'm Garnet, I'm in New York. How are you?
Very good, thanks.
I'm Pat, and I'm in Florida.
Back on February 17th. Blues All Around, the last studio album that Kim Simmons did with you guys as part of Savoy Brown, was released. Kim had passed away back on December 13th. What's it like to have the new album out there with the man who'd been fronting Savoy Brown since 1965?
Well, I think it's been fantastic. We've had a great run with it so far. Sales seem to be pretty good, and things are going pretty well with it. Unfortunately, like you said, Kim passed away in December, so the release happened after Kim had passed, so it's a little bittersweet. We miss him, and we're hoping to do good with this for him, you know. So can't get out there and tour, so we're hitting the digital pavement, Pat and I are.
Oh. Yep.
This is a big album. It's 12 songs, all original, written by Kim, and it's like 46 minutes long, and it's still on the blues rock charts at Roots Music Report, so that must feel good.
Yeah, and Amazon. It's been in the top five since it's been released on Amazon, which has been great. So that's been a good thing.
Yeah, and I don't know where we are recently, but we have been on Billboard with it on the blues charts. And as far as I know, the highest it reached was about four, right, Pat?
Number four. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have Bonnie Raitt and Buddy Guy. And I forgot who else. Taj Mahal and Tab 1-0, somebody like that. All the records out together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we did well. We hung in there with that crew, you know, so that's great.
I was reading the liner notes, and I guess Kim did this kind of all on his own, like the vocals, the guitar, the organ, the harmonica. He recorded all that, and then you guys did the drums and the bass together. I guess that's not the way you guys usually work, though?
No, actually, we never recorded the way we recorded. And we used a studio that we used to use, so there were some components there. But no, normally we record all together as a band, and we hadn't practiced and or played in almost a year. We just got the demos, and we came up with ideas, and we went in the studio, and me and Garnett recorded everything in a day. We got 14 tracks done, actually.
Wow.
Two we didn't use.
Like Pat said, I mean, it was coming right off of the COVID crisis, and Kim had not been feeling well. We knew, you know, what the situation was, but we hadn't played together because of that situation we found ourselves in. So, yeah, we kind of had to build this one from the ground up. Like Pat was saying, Pat and I went in together. Kim had laid down some tracks. We laid down our tracks over his basic tracks. So it was a little different because we always played live in the studio together. But in the end, I think we ended up with a pretty good product, you know.
Yep, me too. I didn't know how it was going to come out, actually, but it came out better than I thought it would have.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be negative, we didn't do it that way, and we hadn't played, you know, or practiced or done anything. So it was interesting.
We weren't sure exactly how it was going to come out because it was new ground for us as far as that style of recording. But we knew Kim wasn't feeling 100%. And he really wanted to get this out. And so he emailed us the demos ahead of time. And we had a chance to do a lot of listening and talking with each other. So we knew what we were walking into, but it was still foreign to us. It was great, though. I think it ended up really well. Gives you a different perspective of how to look at the recording, that's for sure.
It actually turned out to be kind of fun. So that was good.
I just spent, you know, an hour listening to this before I got on the phone with you guys. And I mean, there's definitely no lack of quality because of you guys not being together. I mean, it still sounds amazing. Every track is just something else.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I think the way we did it, it also gives you, at least with me, you were listening to things back, you know, a little differently. So it puts other ideas in your mind, whether it's percussion or vocal tracks or whatever. You think, oh, well, this might work or that might work. So it was kind of cool to do it that way.
I guess because of Kim taking the chemo, he had a peripheral neuropathy, yeah. So he lost some dexterity in his fingers, so he played a lot more slide on this one.
Yeah, he couldn't even string his guitar. Me and Garnett went over. That's the last time I saw him. We went over after the session, and I put strings on his guitar for him. He couldn't really do much with his hands at all.
I mean, it's so sad, you know. I mean, he's a great guitar player, a pioneer. And, I mean, he dealt with it well, though. I mean, he was dealing with it well. But, yes, he was having a very difficult time feeling the ends of his fingers. But he did figure out that he could play the slide tune. So there were some songs that are a little slide heavy, but pretty musical, just the same. It's all great, you know.
Oh, yeah. He didn't complain at all about it, Brett. You wouldn't even know he was sick, really, except for, he was sick. You know, he was very low energy, and, you know, he's been on chemo for 7 or 8 months at that point.
That's one of those situations where the treatment is hard as the disease, you know. It was very difficult.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, I mean, he soldiered through, and the singing and everything is just, you would never know the guy was sick listening to the record.
That's great.
Like I said, he was very tenacious. He didn't complain about it. It was so weird because he would complain about things all the time, as Garnett can tell you. Just, you know. Little things, but he was like, you know, knew he was sick, and this was near the end, but he had sent us both demos for the next record, and I remember he had texted me a week before he had passed, and he had some songs he wanted to, you know, put out a certain way, and that was my last communication with him.
He really wanted to do yet another recording for sure, and and he's got a lot of material, a lot of demos. He left us a lot to work with, so it's not a stretch to think that sometime in the future you might see another Sad Boy Brown record, you know?
Yep.
It's one of those things where you have to work on it with the same intensity that Kim would, but definitely it's a possibility.
Jambalaya, your new unpredictable music mix that's always delicious. Hear the freshest new releases from all genres any day of the week. Go to cjsf.ca for our schedule and the latest Jambalaya.
He gives a little hint of that in the liner notes where he says, "Enjoy listening to this set of energetic blues rock songs as much as I enjoyed making it, and make it a point to look for more Savoy Brown albums in the future."
I didn't even notice that.
That's awesome.
I interviewed him back in 2019 when that album came out. And I guess this is your third album with Quarto Valley Records?
Yeah, it is. Number three. Prior to that, we did like 5 records with them and a DVD, and then we put out a couple on our own.
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get really a chance to tour with Ain't Done Yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't get a chance to do nothing with that.
Yeah, because...
And that was one of my favorite records. I was really upset about that. That was just frustrating.
We released Ain't Done Yet right during the COVID crisis, and then this one, of course. So actually, we've had two of them that we weren't able to tour with. But that just lets you know how productive Kim was. I mean, he was really putting stuff out all the time. I mean, he was thinking about it constantly, you know.
When I interviewed him in 2019, he mentioned something about he was like just constantly writing songs because he knew that eventually they would dry up. So he wanted to do as many of them as he could to get through like the dry patch till the next, you know, a surge hit him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Pat and I used to get, I did anyway. I had a hard time keeping up with him because sometimes he would send us a few demos during the week and say, hey, what do you think about this? And, you know, you might listen to it and get to rehearsal and he'd say, yeah, forget about that one. Listen to this one.
We did that a lot.
You have some other idea he was throwing at you right away, you know, so...
And some of our best stuff we didn't even rehearse. That was funny to me. That's why I wasn't too worried. Like Walking on Hot Stones we did on City Nights.
Yeah.
A Superstitious Woman. And there was another one we did. Those turned out to be the better songs, I thought, of the record. Sometimes it pays to rehearse and sometimes it really doesn't. We've been playing together so long, that's another thing. You know, me and Garnett really started recording with Kim in 2000. It pretty much came naturally with us. And, you know, there's that chemistry thing, you know, where everybody's on the same page. It was really effortless to work on material with them.
Closing out that set from their new release, Blues All Around, we had Savoy Brown with Black Heart. And I got that set started off with the first part of my three-part interview with Savoy Brown's Pat DeSalvo and Garnet Grimm. This is the Rockin' Blues Show, and I'm your host, Brent Morrison. Starting off this set, Ontario's Chris Antonick turned 48 on Tuesday. He was born May 2nd, 1975 in Markham, Ontario. He released his self-titled debut in 2010, earning a Maple Blues Award nomination for New Artist or Group of the Year, and his 2017 album Monarch was nominated for Recording/Producer of the Year, and Chris was also nominated for Songwriter of the Year. From his newest release, 2022's Morning Star, this is birthday boy Chris Antonick with Pilgrim.
Things for granted, it's a weakness of mine, but now I'm looking for changes in the heart and mind. It's not a cry for help, it's not dependence.